You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
You're listening to Done by Law, brought to you by the Federation of Community Legal Centres.
Welcome to Done by Law on 3CR 855 AM. And also welcome to those listening via various podcast platforms or via streaming on 3cr.org.au. You're with Anna tonight. It's just after 6pm on Tuesday the 7th of October. And tonight we are discussing your rights at work. We start tonight's show by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation as the original custodians of the land upon which 3CR broadcasts from. We pay our respects to elders past and present. There are many different situations in which people can find themselves unfairly treated at work or sacked from their employment. In tonight's show, we are going to be looking at a few of those situations and the different rights, supports, and processes you can go through if that happens. If you or anyone you know are worried about getting fired at work, it's helpful to have that knowledge before it happens, as the timeframes for taking action and enforcing your rights can be very tight. Our guest tonight is Siobhan Doyle, who is the Principal Managing Lawyer of the Civil and Human Rights Practice at the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service, or VALS. VALS often provides legal advice and representation for people at conciliations at the Fair Work Commission when people are unfairly dismissed. Welcome to the show, Siobhan.
Thanks, Anna.
To start us off with, I wanted to ask you, what are the first things that someone should do if they've been fired at work and they think it's unfair?
I think one of the first things somebody should do is try and get some advice straight away, because the law can be a bit complicated. There's great legal services that can assist. There's community legal services like JobWatch, the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service, community legal centres across the state. And to get that advice, because there's a very strict time limit to apply for an unfair dismissal case, being 21 days from the date of dismissal. So that is 21 days, calendar days, doesn't matter about the weekend, public holidays, and it's very, very strict. So if you miss it, it can be difficult to get a case in. So best to get some advice and then work out what your options are. I can talk more about applying through the commission and the next steps there.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Siobhan. And who is protected by the law in this space? Say, for example, if I was a truck driver and had been working with the same company for a year, but then they stopped giving me shifts for some reason, would I be protected?
Yeah, it's likely you would be protected in that circumstance. So generally full-time, part-time workers are protected if they've been working for longer than 12 months in a business, and it's 6 months for a business and 12 months for a small business, I should say. So generally you're looking at those timelines, and casual workers can also be protected if they have regular ongoing employment, regular hours, and they think they're going to get shifts every week. So if this truck driver has been working for 12 months for a large truck company on regular shifts and was expecting to get a shift, was getting shifts every week, they would be covered by the unfair dismissal laws.
Great, thanks. And you mentioned sort of the process of going to Fair Work. What is that process?
Yeah, so the first step is applying to the Fair Work Commission online after you've been sacked or dismissed. So you can go online and do that. It's a relatively simple form. The questions ask you what happened, why you think it was unfair. So you might talk about, for example, the truck driver turned up to work, was working normally, and then all of a sudden just stopped getting shifts. They weren't given any heads up about what happened. They weren't told to come into any meetings. That could be considered unfair. And if once you fill in the form, your matter will then be listed for conciliation. So you can get help, legal help filling in the form sometimes as well. But it certainly can be done by yourself. I believe you can also call up the commission if your reading and writing isn't the best, or you need some more assistance. There is avenues there.
And is it expensive to do that?
The fee is about $90. I looked it up the other day, so it's gone up a little bit since I first started. There is also fee relief that you can apply for. So if you're in a tough financial spot, you might be eligible for that fee relief. And I think the $90 is also refundable if the matter settles as well, which is helpful.
Thanks. And you talked a bit about what might be unfair in that situation with the truck driver. Have you got any other examples of what might be considered unfair by the commission?
Yeah. So I think example we see a lot at Vals is like clients will be coming in and saying, I had a performance review, everything was fine, and then all of a sudden, I've been told I'm dismissed, and that would be unfair. If you just had a recent performance review, everything was fine, and then they've dismissed you for performance reasons or some other reason you think is not real, or it's for, an alternative motive, like they, having a disagreement with your manager. Those aren't reasons for being dismissed. Clashes with other employees, generally they need to be dealt with by like investigation and then training. So if you've been told, you've messed up at work and you've then done some training and you've improved, you shouldn't then be dismissed. So there needs to be like a fair process with these sort of matters. It can't just be you dismissed unless there's a serious breach, serious misconduct.
And what happens if there's serious misconduct?
A serious misconduct, you can be terminated without notice. So serious misconduct would include some really serious things. So like being under the influence while you're at work, assault, theft. So very, very serious. It's quite a high bar. We often give advice to clients where the employer's said it's been serious misconduct and we would disagree in that. And then so that could be unfair. So you should definitely get advice when that sort of thing happens, but you'll be given generally like a letter setting out what happened. If you're not given a letter and reasons, that's another thing that could be considered unfair. So even if the dismissal is found to be fair, like you will be dismissed, the process of it could be unfair and you could have a claim in that regard as well. So it gets a little bit legally there, but that's why you should get advice.
That's really interesting. So you put in your form, say, online, and then you get... Can you tell us a bit more about what a conciliation is and what that might look like?
Yeah, the conciliations of the Fair Work Commission are pretty good. So you put your form in and generally you don't have to wait too long in comparison to other legal matters, maybe, between 1 to 2 months, I think, generally. And you'll be listed for a conciliation. So the conciliation happens over the telephone, which is really good. So you will attend the conciliation, your employer will attend the conciliation, and there'll be a conciliator who's from the Fair Work Commission, and everyone gets together. The conciliator talks about how this is all what we call without prejudice, so you can't talk about what happens in the conciliation outside of it. The idea is to settle the dispute, and you might say your side of the story, the employer will say theirs. It's generally not too much of a legal argument. And you try and work out how you can settle the matter. So it could be for money, could be reinstatement, which can happen but is rare, could be an apology, reclassification to a resignation. So you can say you resigned rather than being sacked, which can be really helpful. And then the parties sometimes go back and forth. So that could happen when you're all together, or the conciliator might break you up into telephone rooms and then go back and forth with offers. And then the matter would settle via a deed of settlement, which is a legal document setting out why you're settling and the terms by which you're settling out. So it might be, you get paid X amount of week's wage within 7 days, and then you can't then take your claim further.
I see. And what if you don't reach an agreement at a conciliation?
Yeah, so most matters, I will say, do settle, but if you don't reach an agreement, then... you can choose, as an employee, can choose to take the matter further. So you can go to the Fair Work Commission, and it's more like a court case, and you do have to file some other documents and other evidence, and then the matter will be listed before the commission, who will then make a decision about, if you win or not, essentially. Now, there's normally further steps to negotiate all through that process, and the commissioner will, help the parties come to figure out what facts are relevant, what evidence is relevant. But it gets quite serious then. We don't do too many of them at Vals. Generally, they do settle.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's really helpful. So say another situation, if I still had a job but I was worried about losing it, say if maybe another employee had made a false complaint about me and HR said they wanted to meet with me, what is there anything I should do at that stage?
Yeah, this happens quite a lot. We often get calls from clients who are really worried about this. There's nothing you can do about false allegations. You know, people can say things and then you've got to deal with it, which is annoying, but a part of being an employee. So HR are doing their job in investigating matters, which they have to do. And so you should generally go along with the HR investigation and tell your side of the story. Hopefully then it's all resolved within itself, and you can often bring a support person along to those meetings. You should ask for things in writing if you're unclear. You could choose to provide a statement in writing, but generally do have to participate in those workplace investigations. Otherwise, they've only got the other person's side of the story, not yours.
Hmm. And do people often get their unions involved?
Yes, often. So we always ask people if they're members of a union, because unions are really good at this sort of stuff and they can give legal advice, help you along at the meeting. So we really encourage people to use their union if they're a member. And the union can also like look at if it's a systemic issue within the workplace, like other employees are being affected by it as well.
I see. And I imagine there's quite a power imbalance between often the employer and the employee. So that might be another good reason why it's helpful to have your own lawyer, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it can be pretty scary going up against HR, especially if the allegations are serious. And that's why, you know, you should be join your union. It's a really good idea. Unfortunately, it's hard to get lawyers to go along to these things. We can't do it at Vals because resource-wise, and other CLCs would be in the same boat. You'd have to pay a lawyer maybe, but generally you don't want to get lawyers involved at that early stage. A union rep might be a better person to go along, because lawyers can make things more complicated.
Yeah, no, I was more meaning at the conciliation stage.
Oh, yeah, at the conciliation you want a lawyer, yeah. I think it's helpful to have one, but you don't necessarily need one.
Mm. And what kind of outcomes do you usually see? Is it sort of a month's pay and a resignation type outcome?
Yeah, I think generally the minimum we see is about 2 weeks' pay, and it could go up to, say, 8 to 10. The maximum you can receive at the commission is 26 weeks. So that's the worst case you've seen is 26 weeks. So if you're working backwards from there, you know, 8 to 10 is pretty good. Depends how long you've worked at a place. If you work there longer, you generally might get more compensation. Depends how unfair the dismissal was, what happened, you know, whether or not you've been able to get up work, have you applied for work, your personal circumstances. So it really depends on each individual case. But, compensation via money, and then a reclassification is very common. So instead of saying you've been sacked, you resigned, and you might get a statement of service, which is a document that says that, you know, Anna worked it here for a few minutes, for X amount of time, and her duties were X, Y, and Z, and she stopped working on this date. And then you wouldn't necessarily maybe list that employer as a referee, but you would perhaps show that you worked there. It's evidence that you worked there.
Right, so to help you get the next job, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's it. And there can be, you know, non-disparagement clauses in debt settlement deeds, which means pretty much both parties can't say bad things about each other, and that can be helpful as well. So your employee can't be bad-mouthing you off to other employers, which is helpful. Reinstatement is very rare in conciliation and in the commission. Like, courts rarely order it. It's a possible resolution.
So that's like getting your job back.
Getting your job back. It's really tough to get, because obviously sometimes when the relationship's broken down, it's pretty tough. But it is possible. I've never seen it happen.
Never?
Never.
Gosh. No. All right. Well, thank you so much, Siobhan, for sharing your knowledge about unfair dismissal. We are at about half time here at Done by Law, so please stay tuned and we'll take a quick break and tell you all about our upcoming fundraiser for the Done by Law, which is a trivia night, so please stay tuned.
I'm lucky and I'm clever.
It's time again for Done by Law's legendary annual trivia night. We know you've been waiting, and yes, it is here. Grab some teammates and come along to catch up with like-minded folks in the community legal sector and beyond, and try your luck at taking home trivia glory. We're raising much-needed funds for the incredible 3CR. 3CR is 100% community controlled and relies on annual fundraising to keep its amazing local content on air. Friday 24th of October, 6:30 p.m. at the Richmond Town Hall. Tickets available via 3cr.org.au/done-by-law.
Welcome back to Done by Law on 3CR Community Radio. You're with Anna. We're speaking with Siobhan Doyle, the PML at Vowels, about your rights at work and legal claims you can make against your employer. Before the break, we talked about getting fired and making a claim for unfair dismissal. There are also other types of legal claims that you can make against your employer that I'm interested in asking Siobhan about. So, Siobhan, what can I do in a situation where, say, I made a complaint about my manager at work and then my shifts have been cut? So I guess somewhere in between, not full dismissal yet?
Yeah, that falls under the type of law called general protection. So it's essentially a fancy way of saying there's things that you're protected by under the law for work. So you can make a complaint, and that's a thing that's protected. You shouldn't be adversely impacted by it. So the wording that the law uses is if you exercise a protected attribute, like making a complaint, then the employer can't take adverse action against you, i.e. cutting your shifts. So if that happened, you'd be eligible to make a complaint to the commission that that had happened and that you'd been unfairly treated. So it's not a dismissal claim, it's a different type of claim. And for example, the commission could order things like you've reinstated your shifts back, or compensation, different things like that.
And what other sort of protected attributes are there that you might be able to make a claim about?
There's lots of different protected attributes. So some of the big ones are, like, you're protected from discrimination, and that can include discrimination based on your sex, your gender, your race. Common things are, you know, pregnancy, breastfeeding, different types of disabilities. So there's a really long list of protected attributes in that regard. And so if somebody was discriminating against you at work, another employee, for example, and saying racist things, and you just had to hear that every day and your employer wasn't doing anything about it, that would be an example of adverse action, and then the employer has a positive duty to make their workplace free of discrimination. So they can't just say, oh, that's Fred, he's a racist. That's not good enough. They have to take action against Fred and provide a safe workplace for you. And that can also come under workplace health and safety laws as well. So you could make complaints to other bodies like WorkSafe Victoria too.
Right, so it'd be sort of similar if, say, I was coming back from maternity leave and I needed to take extra breaks during the day to pump breast milk, say, during my shift, but my employer said that wasn't acceptable. That would be general protections.
Yeah, generally that would be, like, there would be, it differs between each workplace, but if that wasn't an unreasonable request, which you would argue it wouldn't be, then the employer should, you know, facilitate those breaks. I guess an example might be if you were, I don't know, a theatre surgeon and you couldn't be taking breaks, then it would be like reasonable business, necessity of the business that you couldn't take those breaks. But I think in the majority of workplaces, that wouldn't occur. So you should be able to have those breaks, talk to your employer about, you know, different adjustments you need for your work. And if they don't, if those adjustment requests are reasonable and your employer doesn't do them, and they're because of a disability or because you're breastfeeding, then that would be considered against the law and not fair, and you could make a complaint. But it really depends on the type of work you do.
And are there strict time limits to apply for general protections like unfair dismissal?
Not as strict, no. So I think the compensation time limits are much longer. So you don't need to be worried. If the adverse action results in a dismissal, then the 21 days applies. But I think otherwise it's 6 years. Okay. I think. Don't quote me on that.
Yep. Check. And then what kind of results or outcomes could someone expect from making a general protections claim?
Yeah, so there could be compensation. There could be orders from the commission that certain things are done by the employer, like, you know, you're allowed to have your breaks to pump your breast milk. The employer has to institute policies about preventing racism at work, things like that. So there can be quite, strict orders.
Maybe like training for staff.
Yep, training for staff is a big one. That should be a part of the employer's obligation to provide a safe workplace. Should involve like training about, making sure everyone knows how to be respectful at work and, look after everyone.
And it sort of sounds like with all these different types of claims, it would make sense to get some legal advice to decide which direction to go in, because it sounds like there might be a few choices to make there.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely getting some legal advice is super important. There's lots of really good resources on the internet about employment matters. So JobWatch's website, which is a CLC, they have some great fact sheets. You can call up, organisations like VALS. The Fair Work Commission also has some really useful information on their website. The Fair Work Ombudsman, again, has some really useful information, easy to understand information. Different legal centres like Youth Law have, resources targeted at young people. There's lots of different legal centres, and I'd encourage everyone to have a bit of a Google and then perhaps try and see if you can speak with a lawyer to get some basic advice. Legal Aid also has some useful information too on their website as well, and you could call their helpline, for example.
Mm. And I guess unpaid wages or being underpaid is another area that does seem to come up, and sometimes some of the big organisations do it in a systemic way. Is that something you see?
Yeah, we see it here and there. Not too much at VALS. Definitely it's an issue that comes up when people have been sacked, and we might help them with unpaid wages claim. The Fair Work Ombudsman kind of deals with all the unpaid wages stuff, and there's some useful resources on there to, write a letter to your employer explaining, you should have paid me X because, I wasn't paid in a certain allowance at work, or I was paid under my classification under the award or the agreement. And then you can make small claims at the federal court for that. Again, relatively simple process as it goes for legal processes. We've had clients do that themselves and then get an order for unpaid wages. The ombudsman will investigate more systemic issues, so that the supermarkets were looked at recently for big unpaid wages. You can report employers to the ombudsman as well, and you should definitely pursue unpaid wages because it's a very common issue. It's now a criminal offence in Victoria for certain conduct, so I would encourage everyone to report it to the ombudsman and follow it up.
And I guess sometimes, not very often, but there's also the overpaid wages issue.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Is that something you've seen?
Yeah, heaps. We actually get clients call about that quite often. And they, employer accidentally paid me, $10 an hour more than they should have for ages, or they paid me when I was on leave and I shouldn't have been getting paid because I'd run out of sick leave. That's probably the more common one. And now I owe, X amount of money. Do I have to pay it back? And the answer is, yeah, you do have to pay it back. And you shouldn't be rushed or having to pay it back so you can't afford groceries or anything like that. The law says it has to be a reasonable payment plan. So you should definitely push back if your employer's like, pay it all back now. It's meant to be an agreement. They can't just be garnishing your wages either. That's not allowed. So there needs to be an agreement. It needs to be reasonable. So if you are, if your budget's tight, it might be a small amount every week.
And garnishing is like taking without asking.
Yeah, without asking. You're not allowed to do that. There'd have to be like the court would have to order something like that. But generally you should enter into an agreement with your employer and pay it back at a reasonable rate. But yes, unfortunately you can't keep it, which that's why people often ask.
And finally, I just wanted to ask about the situation that unfortunately does come up quite commonly, about what people could do if they're experiencing bullying at work.
The bullying issue is a really tough one. So if bullying is going so far as to be discriminatory or adverse action is occurring, then that could be, again, you can use those general protection laws I spoke about. There's also special protections of stop bullying orders, which you can apply to the Fair Work Commission for. I don't know how often they're used, but they could issue an order to say the bullying must stop. But I guess anybody who's been bullied before, it's not an easy problem to solve.
Mm.
Your employer should be taking action to make your workplace safe as well. And so if there's a culture of bullying in your workplace, that would be considered an unsafe workplace, and you can make a report to WorkSafe Victoria, and they do investigate workplaces where there's like a bad culture. But it's tough. I would encourage people to, you know, report the bullying to their manager or human resources team, and then take those steps to protect themselves. But if it's in a small workplace or your boss is bullying you, it can be a really tough problem for the law to solve. Mm. And you want to keep your job. Yeah, it's not easy.
And similarly, I imagine with sexual harassment, I think there's maybe similar stop sexual harassment orders. Is that a thing? I think the law sounds like it's developing in that space. It's
Yeah, I think there would be something similar. It's like, again, sexual harassment should be prevented by the employer. And if that's happening at work, you could have a claim. And those claims are some of the bigger compensated claims that get the most money because they're so egregious and the harm that's caused is so much, and you can apply at the Fair Work Commission or also at the, you know, the Human Rights Commission or the at VCAT for like sexual harassment claims. So again, yeah, the Fair Work Commission would get involved, but you should definitely report it to your manager. I think one of the big things is making sure you've got a paper trail of all this stuff. So, you know, report things in writing. If you have a conversation with somebody, email and say, you know, as discussed, we spoke about X, Y, and Z. Because you want to make sure you have that evidence later on if you do make a claim.
Mm. And from your knowledge, are there any ways in which you think the systems or laws or processes could be improved to help support people to exercise their rights?
Yeah, I think like the $90 fee is expensive for a lot of people, especially if you've just been sacked. So you'd arguably say that fee should be removed or reduced a lot. And I think just more plain English information and advice out there, and better funding for community legal centres so we can give more advice, because it's, you know, the resources are pretty low.
Great. Thanks, Siobhan. We're sadly out of time this evening. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your extensive knowledge about employment law. You've been listening today to Done by Law on 3CR 855 AM, streamed at 3cr.org.au and available on various podcast platforms. Done by Law will be back again next Tuesday at 6 PM, and stay tuned now for the voices of West Papua.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.